Welcome back as we are resuming episode 3, part 2 with Leah Howard. Thank you for listening to We Are Pacesetters.
First time. And so that's interesting. Only because their willingness to be, it's almost like, what is the reason they're here? Did they decide? Did someone else suggest it? So then you're having to navigate, you know, okay, how do I meet them where they are? Another thing is oftentimes athletes do not speak up about mental health issues. There's still a huge stigma. Absolutely. So getting them in the door is a challenge and a barrier right there, because it's like, who's going to see me? Who's going to report on this? Sometimes you see athletes who have a lot of notoriety going to rehabilitation centers only for their picture to end up on the internet the next day, simply for seeking help. Sometimes the resources just are not there. Just within the past year or two, college campuses are now saying, okay, athletic departments should have their own counseling staff. And so that's something that is continuing to grow amongst college campuses and even in professional organizations. It was just last year that the WNBA, the NBA, and the NFL mandated mental health professionals on staff. And so these professionals, there, some teams already had professionals in place, but it's just now becoming a mandated thing. So the amount of resources. And then I would also say representation, because I think that's such an important aspect that we can't overlook. Representation as far as race, as far as gender, as far as age, because traditionally the mental health field was like, all of these scholars that I'm reading are white males. However, that's not reflective of the female NBA, WNBA player of 2020. You know, certain counseling theories can still fit, but there's a lot of tailoring and adjustments that have to be made, to personalize the treatment. So,
And so, and how are you bridging the gap between the athlete and the coaches? Like, what's some of the things that, what are some of the techniques that you use in that? And then you also mentioned, because a lot of these athletes, they don't really know what mental health is or mental illness or what counseling is. So making that relative, making it like, you know, elementary explanation, so that they're not offended by it. And so they don't think that it's something awkward or taboo.
Yeah. So this far in my counseling journey and my professional journey, I've mostly worked with just athletes. I haven't necessarily had the experience of working with coaches. Okay. I've presented where coaches have been in the audience and maybe asked a couple questions on mental health, but more so I've worked with athletes on how to navigate those conversations. And so with that, we might do some role playing. I might be the position of the coach and they're the athlete, and then we reverse the roles in order to see their comfort levels with that, and then also discuss the pros and cons of aspects on their decision-making process, because athletes, your relationship with your coach is so important. I would say it's probably the most important one, along with your teammates. But so really working on how to navigate those tough conversations, and also learning when to ask for help beyond the physical.
Awesome. Yeah. So we're talking about being a pace setter, you know, and we talked about breaking mental barriers. So who are some of the pace setters in your life, people that you look up to as far as being that model that you can not only be a, or have as a mentor, but be a mentee, who you're mentoring? Who are some of those people, and why are they your pace setters?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Two people just came to mind off top, Dr. Nicole Bryant. And so she was my counselor supervisor when I first got into the profession as a school counselor. And so she just did amazing work. She was working on her PhD through the same program that I'm in now. And she was just so inspiring to me. She was actually the one who inspired me to pursue a PhD. And so I have to give a lot of credit to her, because without that representation, I don't know that I would have pursued that journey at the pace that I did, to be honest. I've heard from people like, oh, have you considered a PhD? But it was always something that was a maybe later, but she certainly set the pace for me. And so it was kind of just happenstance. One day I was taking a tour of the school, it's Mercer University, and she was defending her dissertation that same day, but I had no idea. I was talking with the director of the program upstairs, and he hands me someone's dissertation, and I'm like, I know her. And he's like, oh, she's downstairs defending right now. Would you like to go? And I'm like, absolutely. And so it was an amazing, almost passing of the torch moment. And so I have to give her a lot of credit. Someone else I give a lot of credit is Dr. Kenza Gunter. She's a sports psychologist based in Atlanta. And I will say, when I was first doing my research 5-6 years ago on how to intersect the world of athletics and the world of mental health, she was one of the first people who I talked to. And she actually, we were able to sit down and have a conversation. I asked her about the specifics on getting into the profession, what were some common things that were happening in the two worlds, how was she able to advocate and navigate her professionalism. And so I know nowadays her availability is little to none, but back then it was just so inspiring for someone to take the time to sit and talk to me. And the funny thing is, she actually ended up presenting in a class that I sat in on at Mercer this past year, and she recognized me and I recognized her, and it was another one of those passing of the torch moments where it's like, you know, I just had to thank her for taking the time to talk to me. And at the time she was already had her doctorate degree, and now I'm in a classroom pursuing my doctorate because of those moments and those little steps. And you know, she said oftentimes it's very rare that people reach out to let her know what they're doing. You know, she has a conversation with many people about their future goals, but it's very rare that she sees or hears about what becomes of these people. And so I will say that I have to give a lot of credit to both of those women for setting the pace for me, for sure.
Awesome. That's well, shout out to those women right there who are definitely pace setters. So I guess my next question would be, so what's the next endeavor that you're on to that's yours? Like, I know that the PhD program is the one. Is there anything else that you're like seeking to achieve and breaking some mental barriers for the next couple of years?
Yeah, so I just passed the NCE, which is our National Counselor Examination.
Yes.
And that will allow me to
pursue,
thank you. Thank you so much. That will allow me to pursue licensure and really get even more exposure to working with different types of people. And one day I'm hoping to also have some sort of training or development for other counselors so that we as professionals know what are the needs of the athletes, you know, so that we're not asking questions about, well, why athletes? It's more like, why not? Because we're seeing all of these things. I mean, there's so many things on the list, but just to give you an example, like body dysmorphia, injury-related depression, issues with teammates, pressures from family. It's a number of things, personal issues, but I'm really hoping that some sort of curriculum or training models can be developed for me as a future counselor supervisor as well, to help the next incoming set of counselor educators and sports counselors.
Dope. I think that is so relative and so needed. And again, and you spoke of it earlier, a lot of times the athletes, they don't feel comfortable talking with a counselor. Why? Because of the cultural barrier.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't know, like, okay, so what are you going to do with this information? What are my teammates going to say? What is my coach going to say? You know, all these different things. And then a lot of them, they they were never raised in that type of environment where they talked about mental health.
True.
You know, so definitely bridging that gap and being more of that advocate and just, again, making mental health like regular table conversation. Like, you're at the table, well, how are you doing today? You know, how's your emotional regulation? You know, just everything, talking about the trauma. But yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. So I would say, like, what are the top three things that are challenges in the sports industry?
Let's see, in the sports industry, as far as mental health goes?
Yes, as far as mental health.
I would say, for one, athletes having a voice, depending on which organization you're connected with. Some encourage athletes to speak up about issues more than others. And so understanding your position or role of, okay, how much can I say? How much can't I say? There's so many rules and stipulations. I think that's definitely a concern for athletes in terms of their comfort level of speaking up. I think also, I know for me, when I was a student athlete, I didn't even know where the counseling center was or who was back there. Who am I going to see if I should have an issue? And so I think counselors being active, whether that means attending games, attending practices, being seen so that you're building some sort of relationship before there's a concern, I think that's certainly something that should be considered. And so I think athletes also should take it upon themselves to do the research and finding someone who works for them. You know, if the first person you go to isn't a fit, or if the team counselor isn't a fit, then do not be afraid to reach out beyond that. And so I think, and I'm not sure with certain teams, but it may even be discouraged amongst seeking help beyond the team resources. But, you know, I just want to encourage athletes to do what they have to do. And then also, you know, we mentioned earlier representation. I think the more athletes speak up, the more others will feel empowered to do the same. But sometimes it takes that person speaking up. You know, we saw Kevin Love and DeMar DeRozan really break those barriers and be, and we don't know that they were the first athletes. However, they really used their platform to speak up and people listened, which moving forward, other athletes have felt empowered and spoken up and really seem to be starting to prioritize and recognize mental health. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure. We definitely got to stay connected because I think we're on the same wavelength here when it comes to the athletes and just, again, making mental health just basically table talk conversation and just reaching everyone because, you know, everyone has issues. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that we have to communicate is everyone has some type of mental health challenge at some point in your life.
Yeah.
And so talking to someone is just like going to the barbershop or going to the beauty salon, getting your nails done. You know, we talk about all of these things. And so making it regular conversation is something that we have to do. And then having that representation is crucial. So tell us, how do we reach you? What are your services?
You can reach me on Instagram at The Sports Counselor. You can also reach me through my website, thesportscounselor.com, or at my email, thesportscounselor@gmail.com. I am currently a behavioral health intern at Grady Hospital in Atlanta. So if you're local, I am available there. And in the next couple months, I will also be doing private practice work through Open Arms Counseling. And so I'll be accessible through that as well. And so I would say my email, my website, or Instagram, I do respond to DMs, not providing mental health services, but inquiries or ways to get in touch through those methods.
And that's what I use. That's why I got a hold to you. I use the DM on Instagram. And trust me, people, go check out her Instagram. It has so many different techniques, just a lot of mental health news in there.
Thank you.
Please check her out. So thank you again, Leah, for being on. It's been such a pleasure, and I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, yeah. So thank you for tuning in. This has been another episode of We Are Pacesetters. I want you to always remember that your mental health is your wealth, and what's your race?